Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. The second half of the show is live. We'll talk to Mark Stoops in the next hour as the Cats get ready to head down to Gainesville. But the game of the day on Saturday is in Austin, Texas. And many are debating not whether or not Texas can win, but can they avoid a complete and total beatdown? FBI, not impressed. Neither is Vegas. What about Cedric Golden, who's a longtime columnist in Austin? And it's great to say hello to you, Ced. Enjoyed being on your podcast earlier today with the legendary Craig Bowles. I say legendary because he's been at a newspaper longer than most people are alive. But how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Why don't you just say he's old? That's okay, Paul.
Well, it's okay to say. I don't want to say that because then that would make it sound like I've known him all my life, which is pretty similar to him. Let's talk about this weekend, Ced, because it is the game of the day. We're all excited about it, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to be much of a game, does it?
Not to me. I mean, I think that the Longhorns can hang around for a minute, and Alabama's just too strong. And I know you guys just posted my column on the screen, and I asked Steve Sarkisian on Monday, I go, you're going from Glass Joe to Mr. Sandman. How are you going to be able to navigate that within a week? You know, he played that video game, so he got the reference, and now I'm old. But it's just such a step up in competition, and it's going to be tough for them with 14 freshmen on the two deep going up against one of the most experienced, explosive teams in America, and also being step number two on the Nick Saban Revenge Tour 2022. Because this is what that is, Paul. Nick Saban's on a mission this year.
And I want to ask you about that because, I mean, we all know the relationship, but you're suggesting in your theory on this season that Nick Saban doesn't care. And you talk about a revenge tour. Usually you're on a revenge tour, Ced, when you've had a bad season. Well, I just answered my own question. He did have a bad season last year.
For them.
He came in second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a bad season for them. It's been a minute since they won a national championship. So tell that to people in Austin, but it's going to be 20 years in a couple of years. But for me, I think that he has his team in the right frame of mind to come in to Austin, spitting fire and just ready to kill. And I love what I'm hearing from the Texas side of things. Steve Sarkisian has this team all on the same page. He has the buy-in. Total buy-in that he didn't have last season. And it's just a really tough assignment in week two. You'd rather see him in week four or five when he knows who he can depend on. There's some unproven quantities on this team that are going to have to play. And, Paul, the difference is Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Ryan Day, they have those programs established. They can slow cook their young players. That means bring them along slowly. But Nick Saban doesn't have to do that, and those other guys don't have to do that. Steve Sarkisian, he's got his guys in the microwave. They've got to play right away. He's got to have them warm and ready as freshmen. Boy, that's a tall task, my friend.
Well, we know Robinson's a great running back. We're told the quarterback is great. He wasn't the 11th grade. but give us the lowdown on Quinn Ewers, and because he was a number one player in the country a couple of years ago, and he's about to be challenged by a similar type player next year. But what about him? What has he done, and what should we expect?
Huge upside. But the problem is, you might not see it this weekend. Upside shows up later. Upside doesn't show up in 3 days. So I think that he's got a chance to be a really good college quarterback. He has a live arm. I heard Brian Robinson's interview. He did miss a couple of deep throws to Xavier Worthy. He was a fine receiver who will play in the league one day. But he's got this laid-back, cool demeanor, which will probably benefit Texas when they're under fire, which will be Saturday. But you worry about the protection. The talent is there. He's got an All-America-type running back, an All-America-type receiver. The offensive line is the biggest issue. Can you keep him upright against guys like Will Anderson? I just think it's a really tough task for Texas. I think the best thing for Texas, besides winning the game, of course, is to give a great accounting of themselves, not get embarrassed, and maintain and retain that confidence they have going into the rest of non-conference and then entering the Texas Tech game.
Was said Golden said, it's a question that's asked many times, and it may be asked a lot more in the future. What happened to Texas, and why has it taken so long for this program to get its groove back?
Well, number one, Nick Saban didn't take the job. That kind of hurt him. And then they had a bad hire in Charlie Strong, a good guy who didn't win. Tom Herman won a little bit, but they brought him in. They didn't bring him in to go 8-4 every year. So, and then I think there were some things that the administration didn't like that were internal, shall we say. And so that's basically in a nutshell what happened. Mack Brown missed on some name recruits, Garrett Gilbert instead of Andrew Luck, to name one. There are some big misses. And when you miss a quarterback, Paul, the way the game is now, where the quarterback is the most important guy on the field, this is a pass first era. It's not 09 where Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram were rumbling. This is a quarterback era. And so when you miss on that position, you put yourself behind the eight ball. And so what happens is you saw other quarterbacks rise to the front in the Big 12, like Robert Griffin III, guys like that. And nationally, you saw Johnny Manziel and Terrell Pryor and guys like that start to take over. And so in the 10 years, basically since Mack has left, 9 years, they haven't had a regular season of 10 wins since. The last time they won 10 wins in a regular season was 09 when they lost to Alabama in the national championship game.
It was after or during the 13 season, I believe, it all kind of runs together, that there were reports that boosters were talking to Jimmy Sexton, Saban's agent. Now Saban has flat out denied all this, and you know, maybe he's playing
whatever,
word game.
Whatever.
But tell us what you know, because you live there and you know these people.
I just believe that you know, Nick said that he never talked to Texas.
Right.
But that's like me saying I never talked to the cable company. My wife pays the cable bill. She pays it. So, but it's our house. And Jimmy Sexton is part of Nick Saban's house. So there are people walking around campus with Hire Nick Saban T-shirts on, burn orange. There were reports that his wife was shopping for a house in Spanish Oaks, where all the rich coaches seem to live these days. So, you know, it's easy to deny it. We both know that there was smoke there, and we know there was fire. But at the end of the day, Nick Saban got a bigger bag from Alabama. Boy, that bag's been outdated. He got another bag just 2 weeks ago. So, thankfully, you know, I'm very happy that he's able to pay his bills and make ends meet in Tuscaloosa, because I'm sure it's very expensive. So good for Nick. It was the changing of the guard in 09, basically two powerhouse national teams headed in opposite directions. The Crimson Tide are on the ascent. They own college football now, and Texas is just trying to get back into the conversation And they really could use a big win this weekend to send a message to the nation. I just don't see it happening, Paul.
Shed, the other part of this equation is Texas coming into the SEC. It's a long dance, and you know there's some speculation here that maybe it will happen sooner, but it's not happening soon enough for some. But considering the plight of Texas, it may be okay. So where are we on all that?
I think it's another. I think not next season, but the season after that at the earliest. And do we really want to see Texas bunched in with a new division with BYU and Central Florida and Cincinnati and Houston? I really don't. There's nothing about that gets me going. I would love for Texas and OU to just get out of here now. Could you imagine getting divorced and telling your wife, yeah, we're going to live together for another 2 years? Yeah, boy, that's going to be a bed of roses. So you kind of want it to be amicable. Texas and OU going to have to come up with a big, big bag of money to get up out of here. The Big 12 wants them out of here. Trust, they do. But they're not going to let them off easy. And those are the blue bloods of this conference. It's going to cost to leave early.
How do fans feel about the SEC? I ask you that. Spent a little bit of time out there. I know you guys very well, and Texas fans, they don't bow down to anybody. It doesn't matter what the record is. They feel like when they walk in the house, they're sitting at the head of the table. So how is this, once we get out of that bad marriage, how is this new marriage going to work out?
Well, they're going to win national championships in the SEC, in golf, in swimming, maybe softball. It's going to take a while for Texas and OU to get a stranglehold. They're never going to own the SEC. That was a money move. If they wanted to win championships, they would have stayed in the Big 12. I mean, this wasn't about winning. This was about, well, it was about winning, but it's winning at the bank, not on a football field. So it was a money move. I appreciate the business candor of business acumen of Chris Del Conte and the Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife, and Jay Hartzell, the president. Great for them and great for the OU leadership, Joe Castiglione. But let's not pretend that they went over there because it's an SEC takeover. No, they went over there to get paid. And the Big 12 is no longer going to be as big a deal with them out of the conference. If they wanted to win, they would have stayed. But it's as a business. And, Paul, we've always been very clear on this in our conversations. This thing has always been about money. And now that the kids are getting some money, good for them. But there are actually people who aren't happy about that. But it's the same people that are signing billion-dollar television deals to make for super conferences. So good for the kids for getting money as well.
Shed, many thanks. It's so great to see you, as always. And enjoy the weekend, and we will talk very soon.
Okay, brother. Good to see you, man.
Thank you very much. Shed Golden, one of the absolutely best columnists in the country, and just an absolute pleasure to be friends with and to have on this program. And we will head to the break. Mark Stoops in the next hour. Your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, we're back, and let's take some more phone calls here. A lot of guests, and Ray is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ray.
How are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I wanted to take a little time to say something about our friend Gino there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I spent a third of my life in Southern California, and he thinks that they're the racial utopia because they let black players play sooner than the South. But they let them play, but God help them if they drove into a white neighborhood at night or if they tried to join a white country club or tried to buy a house in a white neighborhood. When I bought my house in 81, I mean, it was superseded by federal law, but there was a clause in there that I couldn't sell it to blacks or Mexicans.
So, wow, you know, I didn't realize that. That's amazing.
Yeah, but you know, it was overcome by the federal law in the 60s, but yeah. there was very covert racism, if not overt racism, especially against the Mexicans. And the other thing I wanted to say is the rumor true that you and Laura are going on the Maury show?
Well, we are. What do they say in Washington which is one of the most ridiculous statements? Well, I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Hey, last thing. What do you think was the biggest overreaction as a result of week one results?
I thought the biggest overreaction was that Notre Dame was so good. I mean they didn't score a point in the second half. Did they even gain a yard in the second half?
Yeah, I know. You miss Brian Kelly, as he usually says when they ask him at halftime when he was with Notre Dame, how are you going to do in the second half? And he said, well, I hope the other team doesn't show up. But, yeah, they were the same old Notre Dame.
Yeah, I was just – I think there's a built-in – we want to turn Marcus Freeman into a great coach. And, by the way, I don't know anyone who isn't rooting for that, but he's not there yet. He's 0-2 as a head coach at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his team was well prepared in the first half, but there are two halves in football. I have learned over the years. Let's check out Mike in Kentucky. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Well, first off, I don't want to step on Maury's toes, but you are not the father, okay?
No, I mean that was denied the other day very clearly and convincingly, and I agreed to do a paternity test in case anybody doubted it.
Yeah, I want to rattle Gino's cage a little bit. Hey, Gino, first off, what's a boy from New York doing in Southern California anyway? Would you have to leave town when the Gambino family went down or something? you got some nerve, boy, trying to talk about the South. California. That's a real oasis of good judgment, Paul. It's the only state in the country where you can go to prison if found to be in possession of a plastic straw.
Ooh.
Unbelievable. It's the only state in the country where you can squat on the sidewalk in broad daylight and make a gingerbread man, and it's perfectly legal.
Well,
Grandma and Aunt Jimmy Law standing right there watching, Paul. Grandma and Aunt Jimmy Law standing right there watching. I tried to tell them to go to Panama City for vacation, but nobody listens to me. Roll Tide.
Ron is up next in Oakland, California.
I'm sorry, but he was absolutely true. He was absolutely correct about California. Greetings, Paul. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Wonderful. I've been listening to the show, and you've had a lot of guests over the months, and it's great to be able to witness football season. And I just want to start off real quick. If I was to answer Jim from Tuscaloosa's question, I would say, where is the public education financed? And almost all public education comes from central banks. So that's the answer to what is more evil than the education system itself. But, Paul, I just want to say, just want to share with you. I share with my buddies right before I called you about Billy Napier, you know, when the news about Dan Mullen. I said, I wanted Billy Napier. And I told my buddies, I said, hey, if we mess around and hire Brian Kelly, I'll be a UGA fan for life. Have a great day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Ron, man, Ron is in California. Hey, Ron.
Hey, this is Ron. I'm in Northern California.
Wonderful.
San Francisco Bay Area.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, but I just got to take 1 minute to talk about Geno.
Please do.
They are the most arrogant, self-centered people in the world are graduating from USC. And even though my sister went there and graduated, she didn't turn out that way. That's because she was raised in Arkansas. And we're Razorback fans.
Well, that's always the key.
The one thing that I heard all the other calls that came in afterwards, and you guys gave him what he wanted. You gave him 15 minutes of fame.
Right.
And he's not worth it. He's just not worth it. You need to talk what's worth it, and that is the people in the South. I grew up there. I love you, all of you guys. So, but I'm telling you right now, Alabama better be careful when they come to Arkansas to play that game.
Ron, I think we'll talk about that plenty. Hey, Pat is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Listen, I've told you this before, but in the immortal words of Tennessee Ernie Ford, bless your little pea-picking heart, Paul. You had to put up with Geno from California and Jim from Tuscaloosa in the same segment. I just don't know what to say. Listen, my sister was born in San Bernardino, California, at Norton Air Force Base in 1952. And she hadn't been right since. So,
I knew something, because my sister was born in New York, and she was always off. I never understood it until right now.
Well, if I could give you some advice, I would suggest you just let Geno rant and thank him for his call. But
I think, I mean, there are a lot of country songs that you talk about. That was my last. That was your last call. That was his. We'll take a short break. We have a long way to go here, including a conversation with Coach Stoops at the top of the next hour. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Let's head to Louisiana. Gene is up next. Hey, Gene.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
It's going great. Thank you.
Look, I got a couple of observations from down here in Cajun country.
Okay.
LSU does not have anybody at the top that can evaluate talent, and they definitely don't have anybody that can evaluate coaching. They had Billy Napier 50 miles from LSU that had taken the Cajuns to 3 bowl games, won 10 games a year, and they didn't even make an offer to him. And he's going to take Florida to the championship before LSU gets back, I'll guarantee you. And it's pitiful. I got to tell you, three or four guys at LSU, man, national seed, top 20 players, LSU got them and they were bust. Look at Brennan. I mean, he was a bust from the word go. He at LSU for 3 years and he can't play.
Well, again, some of this you might want to put on Ed Orgeron's resume.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I've called Paul one other time since I've been listening to him, and that was when they gave Orgeron the LSU coaching job. And that's because he should have gotten it. He was the best recruiter that LSU's ever had.
I agree with you on that, but while Orgeron may have been the best recruiter and the best motivator and all, he's probably the worst manager of a football organization I've ever seen.
Well, he's the worst manager of his own life, that's for sure.
Well, you're right about that. And by the way, thank you. Everybody's laughing at what he said yesterday, but it's pretty embarrassing. I mean, the guy was a total embarrassment, other than the fact that he won a national championship. And I know that goes a long way, and it will take him that and the $17 million, hopefully, to the end of his life. I don't wish anything ill for the guy, but I'd be willing to bet he probably will go through that pretty quickly. Let's check out Elliot in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I want to say I've been listening the past 3 days. Your show is the GOAT, but here's the deal. Who's also the GOAT? It's OSU, because Joe Burrow could have gone to any game this last week, and guess where he went? He chose OSU. He could have been at that opener for LSU. He could have gone to see the Georgia Dogs. That guy could have walked on any field, but he came to OSU. Soon, we're just going to have a bunch of SEC quarterbacks in our stadium every year watching a game.
Probably helps the fact that he lives in Cincinnati and has friends in Columbus, and probably
he can fly anywhere, and
by the way, his coach has also gotten fired, so he probably wouldn't want to hang around with Brian Kelly. But anyway, thanks for chiming in from Ohio. It was another predictable comment from there. Pat is in Honolulu. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey, how are you?
Listen to you a lot now for the last couple of years.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy your comments and stuff.
Appreciate it very much.
Shut down some guys. Anyway, my comment was about Alabama's game coming up. And like you said, they better keep their gas on that pedal on the second half, because you laid that down on the second half. I don't think they might make the point spread, but they better keep their gas on that pedal. You don't know what might happen.
Well, listen, everyone thinks they know everything. I think nobody's really talked about the weather. I'm well aware how the weather plays both ways. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. The high Saturday is going to be 95 degrees. And that probably, if you did the analytics, it probably favors the deeper team, which is obvious, but it can have a role. It can have an effect. It doesn't really help one team or the other, but if you're up by two or three touchdowns, it probably would inspire you to get the game over with as fast as possible. Hey, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. Let's check in with Jesse in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great.
All right, I just want to call and I want to shout out Legend. Legend thinks he's a big caller and he likes calling whenever Alabama's good. But when they lose, he just can't call. He disappears for a few weeks. He can go ahead and call me the prodigy, because I'm like Kirby Smart. I'm about to be calling in regardless of whether Georgia wins or loses, because Georgia's coming for that championship. They're coming for it every year. And people want to make a big deal about how small Stetson Bennett is. But I was at the national championship game, Paul. And him and Bryce Young were about the same size. So you can't tell me that he's too short, too small, too slow. Stetson Bennett's a baller, Paul. That's all there is to say. And I just want to give a shout-out to my wife, Kayla, and my son, Wyatt. And go dogs. Pick them.
What if you came home from work and your husband was in the other room barking? Just wonder about that. Carl is up next in Florida. Hello, Carl.
Hey, I'm doing good, Paul. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller, Paul, and I want to talk Nebraska football for a few. Three generations of my family have attended at Nebraska, and I've watched and attended all five of the national title games that Nebraska has played. I've seen the coaching of Devaney, Osborne, Solich, Callahan, Pelini, Riley, and now we're dealing with Scott Frost. And I love Nebraska football. I'm very passionate about the Huskers. At the same time, I'm a realist. And I have to say that Scott Frost is probably the worst Power 5 coach I've seen in some time. And he's had his job for 5 years, should have been fired last year. I celebrated his hiring after he was at UCF. But he has the worst winning percentage of all Husker coaches ever, ever in the history of Nebraska. He's never beaten a ranked team. He's 16-30, 10-26 in the Big Ten, the B1G. He needs to go. And I'm tired of people saying, or him saying, I should say, oh, we've had the best week of practice, and our linemen are puking 10 to 15 times in practice. There's a lot to fix when I got here. Well, who does an onside kick when they're up by 11 and have all the momentum and lose? Scott Frost needs to go. Trev Alberts has hitched his wagon to him by letting him stay, even though he cut his pay, and rightfully so he did that. But some delusional Husker fans are out there, and they'll say, don't be so negative about the team. You're not a real fan. Again, I'm a realist. You can't look at that and say, oh, that's great football, or let's keep doing that. Some think that 6-6 is going to keep his job. I'm bald, Paul, and if he gets to retain his job just because of 6-6 season, I'll grow hair and pull it all out. The Huskers struggled with North Dakota. Clay Helton might come in and beat him with Georgia Southern this weekend. They need to open up a bag, pay a coach to come to Nebraska. And all the other delusional fans will say, oh, nobody's coming to Nebraska. The weather is too bad here. We can't recruit here. Well, if you pay somebody, they'll come and they'll recruit and they'll develop the players if they're a good coach. So I'll leave it to you, Paul. I just wanted to see if you could give me a short list.
Yeah, Carl, I will offer this. I totally agree with you. And you know, it doesn't matter what we thought of him in 2017, I was with him at the national championship game that year, and I thought he was the most impressive coach I'd been around in a long time, and we were all wrong. And Trev Alberts, I think, played the safe card. He probably wasn't ready to go out and get somebody, but he ought to be ready now.
Right.
I mean, if Trev Alberts doesn't have three coaches in his back pocket, then he should be fired. I'd give it a few more weeks. I'd let it play out. Obviously, the Oklahoma game coming up is a big one. I don't know what else is. The schedule did not look that difficult to me, but I would. You don't have to fire him the first couple of weeks. You could have, and nobody really would have objected. But I strongly believe he will get fired. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What's about to happen, y'all?
Oh, my God.
What you mean it's under review? He went out of bounds. Freaking football, man. You got to love it, man. You're on the losing end, winning end. You got to love it, man. Golly. Here you go. Bye time. Use your legs. Touchdown. 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 Come on, let's just get the overtime 34. Just a regular kick, routine. They blocked them. Special teams killed LSU tonight. Two muff punts and two block kicks. Wow.
Special teams killed Marcus Spears on Sunday.
Prayers up for our guy.
What's up, Five Bomb Crew? Drea Carter, Alyssa Lang here on Out of Pocket. I don't know if anyone remembers, but last Halloween, Alyssa dressed up as Steve Spurrier. I dressed up as Marcus Spears, but I wasn't that much in pain the way Marcus Spears was watching that LSU game.
I hope you're never in that much pain, because I'm in pain from watching our guy Marcus and the rest of LSU Nation go through what they went through on Sunday night.
The hurt that happens when you have to stop yourself from talking, it's painful.
You brought up a good point earlier. I said, if it were me, I feel like I would have been cussing up a storm. I would have said something. And you were like, when you get to that point of anger, you don't have the words.
There are no words. However, I do think that obviously discipline needs to get cleaned up.
Sure.
Right? But at least the energy was there for LSU in the fight. We saw last season there were games where LSU laid an egg. They laid down. They didn't fight. They didn't look like they had any heart. They didn't look like they wanted to be there at times. And there were moments in this game where LSU could have fell flat, muffing the punt, right? Dropping things. Plays that did not go the way that they wanted them to go.
Right.
And they responded with energy. And I think that's something that can be built on.
I think it's also important to remember, and it's easy to make this assumption, right, because Florida State hasn't quite been that team the last couple of seasons, right? Florida State of old is a force, certainly across college football, but they've been struggling the last couple of years. And I think it's important to get into that mindset of, we don't know how good Florida State's going to be this year. It's not like LSU may have gone out and lost to this terrible team. Florida State may very well be a good team in their conference this season. So 6 weeks from now, we may be looking back going, you know what, outside of how it ended and those week one woes, it's maybe not the worst loss of the year for a college football squad. I'm with you, though. I was disappointed by some of those discipline aspects that we saw on the field on Sunday, specifically that Allie Gay target. And that was the targeting call of all targeting, right? But I mean, that was assault at that point. So team captain, somebody that you're looking to be a veteran leader, he has to leave the game. He's not available the next week. I mean, those are the kind of things that you got to be better than that. Yeah. If you want to compete in the SEC, if you want to get back to the LSU of 2019, you can't be doing stuff like that. Yeah. There are a lot of things for Brian Kelly to go back to the drawing board, to go back to practice, to evaluate throughout the week. I think the bright spot, though, was Jaden Daniels. And we sat here on this show a week ago thinking it would be Jaden because of how athletic he is.
Yeah, and his ability to escape and create when things weren't going right with the offensive line. And we saw that play after play after play, him being able to make a play when it looked like there was not going to be anything available for him, just tucking the football and running, using his legs, getting out to the sidelines, and also trying to get extra yards. I think that he is going to have an extremely bright future. But to go back to what you said, I always think, and I remember as a player, my coach is saying, I would rather have to rein you in than push you out, right? Sure. Like, I would rather have to clean things up on the outside and you're going all out. Obviously, targeting is, you know, something that has to be taken care of, right? That's not something that you're just going to forgive.
Targeting like that,
Targeting like that, right? But for LSU fans, SEC fans, you would rather have to rein it in than try to get them to play with some energy and some passion, right? So I still think overall, and like you said, Florida State brought in transfers. Like, we didn't know what this Florida State team was going to be. They could be great. And so this could be a game that actually I think LSU fans look at and they're like, we fought really hard, especially if LSU cleans things up moving forward and still plays with that same energy.
100%. And I think a lot of eyes over the next couple of weeks now will be on wide receiver Kayshon Booty, certainly given the lack of production that we saw and lack of time even spent on the field. Of course, scrubbing his Instagram page of all things LSU, which we've been told is just a focus thing to go back to the drawing board. We'll see LSU with an opportunity to turn things around, though, this weekend against Southern.
We are back, and Mark Stoops expected to join us at the top of the next hour. Tyler is in Kentucky. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, first I want to say I'm sorry for Marcus, man. I bet he's going through a bad time right now. You know, after seeing last night.
Yeah, poor Marcus.
I know it. But, yeah, well, what I was going to ask you, what do you think about the Kentucky and Florida game? You know, Florida jumped all the way up from 12 from unranked. What do you think?
I would really like to talk to Coach Stoops first, because I don't know if he'll tell us any more about who will be playing in the game, but we certainly will ask. And I think that's really critical. I think if Kentucky had a full complement of players, I would feel a lot better about them, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I was going to ask about Rodriguez. Is he hurt for the rest of the year?
No. I think it's I tell you what. I think the only thing we can do is ask Coach. I know it's a prickly situation because of some off-the-field issues, but I would feel much better about I think Kentucky is a really good team, but how deficient are they going to be? And we don't know really who's going to be in the game. We know who's going to be in the game for the Gators, and Anthony Richardson is the key. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We'll talk to Coach in just a minute. A lot to discuss with him when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.